Psalm 89, please. Psalm 89. And I want to look at one verse here tonight. You don't need to stand this evening. Psalm 89. And I want to look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. In verse 8, matter of fact, this psalm is tremendous, talking about the greatness of God. And verse number 8, it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? I want us to think about the faithfulness of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 9, it says, God is faithful. What a tremendous thought with that. God is faithful. Now, we talk about individuals sometimes who are faithful, but we have a lot of failings, don't we? But God, when it says He is faithful, it means it to the utmost. What's it mean for God to be faithful? And God gave me a few different thoughts that I'd just like to share with you in that area. You could probably add many to it. One of those is, He never forsakes us. He never forsakes us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, Let your communication be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I love this verse for a number of reasons. We look here, and we can take an English lesson for a moment. He says, let your conversation, that's your behavior. You see, tonight, not only do you hear me speaking, you women, you look, and 95% of what you perceive is what you see. Seriously. A woman's more in tune with that as far as interpreting what's being talked about. And that's why women sometimes are more suspicious than men are of certain things. And men wonder, well, that isn't what they said. And sometimes there's an intuition there that needs to be listened to by men. But nonetheless, conversation, our whole behavior. And so when you and I are having a conversation, it's not just the words. It's the whole body language thing there, isn't it? And so we look at that, and he says, let it be without covetousness. Not to be covetous. And then you find a little semicolon, which means that this thought is going to continue. And he says then, be content with such things as ye have. So not covetous, but being content. And then you notice there's a colon. And now he's going to give an explanation of this whole thing. We ought to be content. Why? Because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. And by the way, go back to clothing. Be ye clothed with holiness. Be clothed with God. And it just really takes the whole thing into corporation if we stop and really consider. But we look here, and we ought to be content. And that contentment can take us to the spot where that contentment can come about because we realize and recognize God be with us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. Sometimes we go through life and we wonder, where is God at? I know we remember the poem, The Footsteps in the Sand, but sometimes when we're living it, we wonder if that poem is true. But it certainly is, and God takes us through. Discontentment, by the way, is often a sign of our lack of faith in His very presence, that He is there to take care of us. But He will never forsake us. He is faithful. Here's one for you. God attends every church meeting. In the book of Hebrews, he says this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's his promise. He said he would be there. Now, we don't always recognize the presence of God. We don't always experience the presence of God. But here's something we can understand. According to the Word of God, when we gather together, He is here. According to the Word of God, if you're saved, He lives within you. You may not always feel it or always experience it. Generally, that problem is because we've had some separation because of sin in our lives. But God attends every church meeting. He doesn't quit because of adversity. I went out for cross-country track when I was a junior in high school. I don't know what was in my head. I think running, I don't like running. I don't know why I went out for it. To this day, I don't understand it. But what do we have to do? Coach, he said, go out there. He says, I want you to run the railroad tracks clear down to the river. Do you know how hard it is to run on railroad tracks? And I tried to figure out how to pace myself, and then you'd have one that was just not quite the right space and mess it all up. And I don't know if I lasted 2 weeks. I think it was about a week and a half, and I turned in my sweats. And I've had enough of this. I quit. It set up a pattern, by the way, on a couple of more occasions. I went out for a sport and I quit. Why? It got a little hard. But God does not quit because of adversity. Aren't you glad of that? I think of this verse in the book of James. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Now listen to this. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't quit because it gets difficult. He is always there. He keeps at it. He keeps going. God is faithful. God finishes what He starts. How many projects in your life have you started and it still needs finishing? And we do that. That's common to man, I think. But God, whatever He starts, He finishes. Being confident of this very thing, that which He hath begun, a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, He won't finish it. He was on the cross of Calvary, and what did He say? It is finished. And God stays with it to the finish. Now, we're going some with this, but just hang on just a little bit longer. I think something else that God is very faithful in, and that is answering prayer. I believe that God answers every prayer according to His will. And by the way, God is willing to answer prayer. God wants to answer prayer. The only prayer that I find in the Word of God that He says I won't answer is when we want to consume it upon our lust. Otherwise, I find promise after promise where God says, ask and He'll give it. Too often as Americans, we're wanting it for our lusts, aren't we not? But God wants to answer. Especially, listen, if it's something that's going to bring honor to Him, is He not going to answer it? And according to His will. Here's one for you. I find the Word of God in two different places. It's the will of God that every man be saved. That's His will. He's not willing that any should perish, it tells us in Peter. Timothy says just that. I mean, it's the will of God that all men be saved. That's what God's will is. So, if I have somebody that I know that's not saved, I can pray in the will of God and I can say, God, would You save that individual? Would You work in their heart? And I know this. That's the will of God for them to be saved. I know God's going to answer my prayer. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to save them because God gave them a free will. This is what I know. When I ask God to work in their heart, He's going to. Amen? Well, it's His will. And so, you know, if I pray five times today that God work in John's heart or Harry's or whoever's, I just have to believe that God's doing that at least those five times. But I also find the Bible says He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. And so God's in this business of answering prayer, and He answers them according to His will. By the way, I'm glad He does it His will and not mine. There are times that I've seen my prayer get answered, but a whole lot better than the way I was trying to tell God how to do it. How many tell God how to answer your prayers? I mean, seriously, we do that a lot, don't we? But God does it His way. He is with us to the end. We find in the book of Matthew, in the Great Commission, at the end of it, He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now let's think about this. He's with us to the end, but that's just the beginning. And then we're with Him for all of eternity. But God is always with us. He always, here's one for you, always forgives those who confess. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here's the problem with that verse. The problem is not God, the problem is us. We ask God and we don't feel like we've been cleansed. What we need to do is take God by faith. And if we asked and God said He did it, I might not feel like it right now, but God said He did it. Amen? When that truth flooded my soul, it revolutionized my life, really in this respect. Hallelujah. I got it for God to forgive me when I confess. Now, as we stop and think about the faithfulness of God, it also do this for us. Somebody asks, how are we made in the image of God? Well, if we're made in the image of God, then the way God is and the things we see about God then ought to be true of us. Now, because of sin, so much of it's been tarnished severely. But if God is faithful, then we ought to be faithful. And the things that we read about here, we ought to be faithful. Why? Because He was. And listen, faithfulness, as I study the Word of God, I believe is the quality that Jesus renders with the greatest reward. And we find over and over where because of faithfulness, they're rewarded. Should God reward you because you have a certain talent? God gave to Sean an ability to sing. Kind of took it away the last 2 or 3 weeks with a froggy voice. But he can sing. He can find a note and hold it there. I can find them. You know, they're there. I don't know. Somebody said, can you read music? Yeah, I can read that. That's an A and that's a C. And I can read the notes there. But to put my voice where that note is, I don't know how to do that. Okay? And so I guess that's what reading music is. I could sit down to the piano if I knew how to do it. I could do it years ago on the clarinet. I could look at the note. I could press certain keys. I knew, hey, that's the sound that comes out. But I didn't know if it was the right sound or not. I just knew it by the keys I was pushing. And you know, people have abilities and talents. She can play the piano. And she's got an ability there. Does God reward us because of our ability? No. God rewards us because of our faithfulness with the ability. God gave us those talents to use. And if we're not faithful in using them, here's what I've discovered. God will take them away and give them to somebody else. And I've seen Christians who were very faithful and didn't have too many talents, and then God just seemed to give them some more. And so in my mind, I'm wondering, I wonder who He took that away from. Because they wouldn't use it. But God wants us to be faithful. Oh, it's not a matter that you know, this guy, he's got a greater ability, and so he's going to get a greater reward. No, everybody can do the same thing, and that's be faithful to what God has given you. Amen? He can do that. And praise the Lord for that. That puts us all on equal footing, by the way, for rewards. Because we can all do that with whatever God's given us to do. God is faithful. God has all abilities, but God is faithful in using all of those. And I'm thankful tonight that one day, 40-some years ago, I cried out to Jesus, and He was faithful to hear me and save my hell-deserving soul. I'm thankful He was faithful. He didn't forsake me. He never has since. And He said He would save me. He's been faithful to me. I'm also glad that His Word teaches me that my salvation is dependent upon His faithfulness, not mine. For I would have to confess to you tonight, I would have lost it. But He's the one who's the keeper of it. And I'm thankful to that. Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. Thank You so much for Your wondrous faithfulness to us. We don't deserve it. Oh God, we know that. We understand tonight that we're nothing but crumbs under the table. And yet You are faithful to reach down to pick us up and to cleanse us and set our feet upon a solid rock and to make us whatever we are. Lord, I pray that we might take lesson from who You are and realization that as You're trying to recreate us, to make us like unto Yourself, that You want us to become faithful. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would help us to see these things, that these spiritual attributes that are so important, as Rosie said a while ago, that we have a love in our hearts, that we have a compassion, that we have a faithfulness to it. We have this kind of desire just to see our fellow man to be raised up and to walk closer with You. Thank You tonight for Your goodness and Your grace and all that's there. Bless as we go our separate ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.